Racing HQ, brought to you by Tab's new Odds and Evens. Simply pick whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens, or split. Gamble responsibly.
It is Racing HQ on a Friday. This is the time where we get the information from our regulars. Simon Dinopoulos, good morning from Racing and Sports.
Yeah, morning, Andrew. How are you?
Excellent, mate. And we're here at Randwick. The sun is out. The track's still a heavy nine. And they're suggesting the team that it will start probably in an eight tomorrow.
Yeah, fantastic, Andrew. As long as we hopefully don't get rain on the day, I think heavy eight at Randwick, the way the track's been playing, it should be fine. It's been really fast the last few meetings. So I'm hoping that sort of helps with the rain that we've got on that heavy eight. And I think the track will play fair there tomorrow. And look, it looks a good competitive meeting. Very interesting, the shorts, which runners line up there. But yeah, I think the Optic White, Avilius, I think it's sort of, I'm not D-Day for him, but I think it's his race now. And yeah, very much looking forward to it.
Righto, let's have a look at the Brad Gray from Racing New South Wales. Morning, Brad.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I kind of agree with Simon there. We've had a couple of meetings, haven't we, where it's been a little bit on-pace dominated, so I think we'll see them come down the guts of the track. And if you like backmarkers, certainly might be the day to cash in.
All right, well, let's have a look at your thoughts. Simon, you're going to kick us off here with Race 3 tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty keen on the Victorian Junipal from the Mara Noosa stable. He was a very good winner off a seven-week break at Moonee Valley, two runs back, and then he should have won at the Valley last start over the mile. I just didn't get the right run at the right time, but certainly charged to the line late. He was marked up to his peak there, which previously was in the Queensland Guineas behind Colding. We've seen him perform well on a heavy track previously. He finished second in the Sunshine Coast Guineas, and he just comes up in the highway in the right form. And the biggest tick for me tomorrow, Mark Zara takes over there. So that's a bigger push as any. Scared of Dealmaker, but when I saw he drew 15, I think Junipal is going to settle a fair way in front of him. And that being the case, I think he's going to be very hard to beat tomorrow. He's fit, which is the big tick on those testing tracks. He should handle it. And I think he gets into the running line. And I think Brad's right. They will get to the middle of the track. And imagine Zara should be able to get him there tomorrow. And if that's the case, I think he's going to be very hard to beat. Race 3, number 11, Junipal.
Yeah, currently is favourite in the race at $4.20. It will be interesting. I know that it's heavy ground and they will spread, but this rail's back into the true since early August, Simon.
Yeah, and it's sort of changed, hasn't it? I remember, you know, a few years ago it was sort of fence on a heavy track at Randwick was just a no-go zone, and then that certainly switched in the last 2 years where the fence has certainly held up. So you'd imagine you will get an idea with the highway early. That gives us an idea, generally get a capacity field in those races. So we'll have an idea of how the track's playing early doors. But yeah, I don't think the fence certainly isn't the no-go zone it used to be.
Yeah, understand. All right, Brad, we're going to move to race 5 tomorrow now, the Bill Ritchie.
Yeah, Cascadian for me in this race, Andrew. I think if he's up to winning an Epsom in a couple of weeks, he'll want to go very close here. It's the same path as Boban took back in 2013. I was a little bit scared. I've actually backed him for the Epsom. I was a little bit scared how far down he was, I should say, in the order of entry there. So he probably needs a little penalty just to make sure he is in the field. But what he did there first up in the show county, I thought he's got a really big shout as he gets out and trip out to 1,400 metres. Certainly better here. It was a quick day there at Randwick last time out, but his last 600 metres was the quickest of the day. That includes Trope. So you're certainly flying home when you're clocking your last 600 metres quicker than Trope. Trope covered him through the line, but he is a horse, as I say, that'll be more comfortable at the 1,400 metres in the mile. He's relished soft ground overseas. He hasn't seen a heavy track, but his overseas form suggests he should get through it. Month between runs, little tick over trial since, which we so often see from James Cummings, and I love the way he trialled there just out the back and cruised to the line. So if he turns up in his best, he's certainly going to be really hard to beat there and march towards the Epsom and hopefully take that out too. That's race 5, number 7.
$3.80 right now. We know the Colding's been scratched from today, so it'll be running there tomorrow. It's the second pick at the moment at $5. Righto, we move to race 6, the shorts. There's been so much discussion. It's disappointing that Sunlight is out and Santa Ana Lane. James Cummings makes decisions tomorrow morning about Osborne Bulls and Viridine. Home of the Brave will run given the track conditions. But Simon, did you hear Les Bridge?
I didn't, Andrew.
Yeah,
I didn't.
You should have, because he did. For Les, he spoke really well. He's normally tight-lipped. I'm hoping Brad heard it. I hope somebody heard it, because he was quite open.
Somebody was listening, Andrew.
Yeah, I hope so, because he was quite open that he was surprised that the horse's favourite in this race. I know there's only 10 cents difference between it and the $4 of Parada and $4.20 Red Zell, but he said, we've only had the four starts. It's still going to be a great race tomorrow.
Yeah, very much so. I think the biggest thing with Classic Legend, there's obviously plenty of blue sky ahead, but you are paying for it at the current quote. But then watching Formline last night, Ronnie let slip that it's the best piece of track work they've seen from Classic Legend during the week or last week. So yeah, he's flying at the trials and obviously flying at track work as well. So they've kept him very safe in the early markets, and he's a big watch there tomorrow. He's only had the four starts, so he certainly hasn't reached his ceiling. But I'm leaning towards Pirata. I know there's sort of the chat that he might not run. They're scared to give him a gut buster, so to speak, heading towards the Everest. But I'm not sure if Greg's just playing a few off the break here and trying to put that seed of doubt in others' minds that they don't want to give their horse a gut buster, because he is the best wet tracker away from Red Zell, if not better than Red Zell. So I think he'll handle the conditions. I'm hoping it's an eight, and that's the case. Pirata does take his place, because geez, he was enormous first up in that Concord. I didn't think he'd be suited at 1,000, and the way he closed off behind Red Zell, he should only improve off that. Going to 1,100 metres is another tick. As we know, he loves Randwick, won 4 of 10 here. I think the draw, he's just able to go back, and in the smallish field, interesting to see what the numbers are in the morning, Andrew, after scratchings, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be a strongly run 1,100 in that small field. Could be a pretty tactical affair with a few more scratchings. So if that's the case, he'll just be out the back smoking the pipe and then Tommy bring him to the outside. So interesting to see if he does take his place. I'm hoping he does, because I think Classic Legend does set up the market. I really like him as a horse, but I don't think he deserves to be favourite in this field. And as a result, you're getting a good price to find out about Pirata. So I'm hoping he does run. I've taken the early price in the hope that he does, because I do think if he lines up tomorrow, he starts favourite. So happy to be in his corner. Race 6, number 3, Pirata.
Yes, we spoke with John Thompson on Wednesday about his runners in town, and he actually, in that interview, brought up the gallop on Tuesday, saying one of his horses worked with Classic Legend, and he was blown away by the time that that Classic Legend ran. It was early, the heavy rain hadn't fallen, but even John spoke, it was unusual, another trainer talking about another horse from outside his stable, but I think the thing was that he was incredibly impressed by the talents of Classic Legend on that morning on Tuesday. All right, so that's Simon's second. You both come together in the Colgate Optic George Main, race number 7. Brad, you like Avilius.
Yeah, we obviously both do. I think in a perfect world, he'd be out to probably 2,000 metres third up, but the wet track really brings this bloke into it. And I think of the two races he's contested to date, I think this is the most suitable. And the good little edge for punters is that he's actually a longer odds than what he was first and second up. There's, of course, been plenty of merit to both of his runs back. First up, 1,400 metres was a touch too sharp on the good deck, but he still came home in the fastest last 600 metres and quite comfortably in the race. Then last start, we saw it all unfold horribly wrong. He got posted wide. He did a stack of work in the middle stages there and summed out, just rolled along and kicked for home, and he peaked on his run there the last 200 metres as he was entitled to do. So although summed out's beaten him twice this spring, the wet track, bit of extra pressure here, I certainly think Avilius will be turning the tables. And you go back through his last prep and he's already a two-time winner on the heavy ground, winning the Rambert and the Tancred. So he's going to be a long way back, but as I say, a bit of pressure here coming to the middle of the track. I think this is the race where he kicks off his spring with his first win of the campaign. That's Avilius, race 7, number 2.
And you're in the same little corner here, Simon.
Yeah, and as Brad touched on, we're getting the best price this preparation, and I think you'd happy to argue this is the best he's been set up. Third up should be nearing his peak. I still think James is sort of setting him for further down the path. October, November is where we're going to see Avilius really at his peak, but I think this is the first target they penciled in when coming into this preparation, the Group 1. I think the thing with Winx is that we got so used to horses winning all the time that, you know, we forgot that horses often get beat. I went back and had a look through the likes of Kermadec and, you know, your Sacred Falls, and they would get beat in the lead-ups before the grand final. So I don't think it's an oval. You know, he's ran well in both runs back, and just looking at his ratings, I'm not too concerned with what he's produced first and second up. I'd look at his peak And that's where I think he's going to run tomorrow. And if that's the case, he's certainly going to be very hard to beat. And as James Cummings touched on during the week, the wet track, they just come back to him in the straight, whereas on a fast track, they just keep going. Samadout keeps going, whereas I don't think that'll be the case tomorrow. I think you'll pick him up. He'll get to the outside. I think we'll see the really Avilius tomorrow, and looking forward to him sort of stamping his claims heading on towards the spring. So, yeah, in his corner and very happy to take the price about him. Race 7, number 2, Avilius.
$3.20, as we mentioned. Now, Supernova, we believe, will get a start in the Kingston Town tomorrow, thinking that Red Cardinal, Our Century, Sorter Boy and Dukan run today. So we suspect that they'll come out, and that will give Supernova a start. And Michael Hawkes, thanks, Mike, for letting us know that the horse is in Sydney. It was entered for Melbourne as well, but the horse is still here in Sydney. And you like it, Brad?
Yeah, that's good news, Andrew. I've been sweating on that all week, wondering where he was going to pop up. But I do fancy his chances here on the heavy deck, staying in Sydney. I think he's a stayer really worth tracking through the spring. We saw him last prep, and generally, as a rule, they improve so sharply into their second prep, these imports. First up, I thought he was outstanding. He was beaten in the rolly mile by Gulwa. But, geez, he clocked some fast splits home really quick at the end of his race and really savaged the line there. We saw in his first Australian preparation, he hit the ground running there for Team Hawks. He caught the eye first up, very similar run, before he won comfortably second up, 1,900 metres, heavy track, second time out. So this profiles really nicely for him to go on with that, and I follow that similar path, and we don't really know his level yet. I think he's a horse who could certainly measure up in some Group 1 handicaps down the path. He probably isn't particularly well weighted under the set weights and penalty scale, but I think it'll just be a matter of time before this bloke's a 100-plus rated horse himself. So we'll jump on the bandwagon nice and early and track him through the rest of the carnival. That's Race 8, number 18.
Righto, so Supernova, Race 8, number 18 there. So running through them for the boys, for Simon Dinopoulos, 3.11, 6.3 and Avilius in race number 7 is the Colgate Optic. It's race 7, number 2. And for Brad Gray, it's 5.7, 7.2 and 8.18. Supernova currently at $5.50. Brad, have a good weekend. Hope it's a winning one.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Good on you. Brad Gray from Racing New South Wales. And Simon, there'll be so much news tomorrow morning with all the let's hope there's not too many scratchings, but there will be some. So we'll keep our listeners up to date, and we'll talk to you at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, Andrew, looking forward to it. Should be a good meeting, and yeah, hopefully we get through with not too many scratchings in the morning.